Breaking news tonight. The FAA orders emergency inspections of Boeing 737 engines after that deadly Southwest Airlines mid-air explosion. Are there more planes at risk? Also breaking tonight, the CDC's new warning, do not eat any romaine lettuce as a mystery outbreak spreads. Sticker shock for drivers across the country.
You look how much money I'm paying for gas. $56? It's expensive out here.
Gas prices jumped. The pain at the pump expected to get worse. A call to action on the anniversary of Columbine, another nationwide walkout by students who say enough. Fallout tonight from the Comey memos, their public release raising new questions about the private conversations between the FBI director and the president. And high times as weed enthusiasts light up and celebrate on this 420, and more businesses rush to cash in.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, everyone. There is late word from the FAA, which, along with European authorities, is ordering worldwide emergency inspections of the jet engines that power the type of plane involved in Tuesday's deadly Southwest accident. The inspection order that some experts argue didn't come soon enough focuses on fan blades. Officials believe a broken fan blade triggered the engine explosion that punched a hole in the 737, killing a passenger. NBC's Tom Costello now with new details.
Under pressure to act, late today, the FAA finally did, issuing an emergency airworthiness directive, mandatory inspections within 20 days of 737 engines with 30,000 takeoff and landing cycles, more time to complete inspections on engines with fewer cycles. Southwest Airlines and other carriers had not waited on the FAA order, conducting the inspections round the clock, looking for signs of metal fatigue after Tuesday's mid-air explosion that killed a mother of two. NTSB investigators say a broken fan blade likely caused the engine explosion. Another fan blade broke off on a Southwest engine in 2016, though no one was injured. In March and June of last year, the manufacturer, General Electric, called for engine inspections, warning of potential blade failure, uncontained forward release of debris, damage to the engine, and damage to the airplane. But the FAA still had not issued a formal order before Tuesday's mid-air emergency. Maintenance unions accused the FAA of being too slow to act.
Every day that they're flying these airplanes with this condition that potentially exists, we're putting the flying public and our flight crews at risk.
The FAA says the normal process to issue an order laid out by Congress is deliberative and takes time. For its part, Southwest says its own crews conduct periodic engine maintenance, but major engine overhauls and inspections are done by the manufacturer.
We hire GE to do the heavy engine overhaul or maintenance work on all of our engines.
This FAA order targets 680 engines worldwide for inspection within 20 days, half of them in the U.S. Another 2,500 should be inspected by the end of August. European regulators ordering the same inspections. Meanwhile, Southwest has sent a letter to every passenger on board Flight 1380 apologizing for the emergency, offering $5,000 in compensation and a $1,000 travel voucher. Lester?
All right, Tom Costello, thank you. Now to another story just breaking. Late word of a potentially momentous announcement from North Korea. Leader Kim Jong-un says his country will suspend nuclear tests and intercontinental ballistic missile launches starting tomorrow and will shut down a nuclear test site, according to South Korean media. This after CIA Director Mike Pompeo secretly met with Kim Jong-un in North Korea over Easter weekend, laying the groundwork for a potential summit between Kim and President Trump later this year. Let's turn out of the price you pay at the pump and a spike here in California and across the country. Experts are warning the highest prices are still to come. In some communities, drivers are already paying more than $4 a gallon. And NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has the details.
Tonight in California, the writing is on the wall. Commuters are fuming over gas prices.
I just put $40 in this tank and it's still not full.
Climbing to a near three-year high, the average price for a gallon of gas here is $3.57. Driving from San Francisco to Los Angeles, Javier Mendez's road trip to visit family is costing $250. On a waiter's wages, it's too much money to dish out.
So what do you do?
For us, we just don't travel much.
In California, where drivers pay more than the national average, This is sticker shock. With prices surging from coast to coast, drivers everywhere are paying a premium at the pump. In Miami, Clement Gomes has had enough.
Look how much money I'm paying for gas. $56? It's expensive out here.
Climbing 19 cents from just last month, today's national average is topping off at $2.75 a gallon. With conflict in the Middle East, demand surging, and supply dwindling, analysts believe prices will rise before they dip this summer.
Oil's kind of a big wild card right now. What happens in Syria, what happens with trade tensions with China, and what happens with oil supply from OPEC, those could all be potential factors moving forward.
Pain at the pump as drivers everywhere buckle up for higher prices.
With some gas prices in cities like Los Angeles already closing in on $5 a gallon, the national average for a gallon of gas could soon hit $3. Of course, all of this comes before the start of the busy summer driving season. Lester.
All right, Miguel Almaguer here in Los Angeles tonight. Thank you. And there is breaking news this evening from the CDC amid a mystery E. coli outbreak, now warning people not to eat romaine lettuce unless you can be sure that it's not from Arizona. Dozens of people have been sickened from E. coli poisoning linked to romaine across 16 states. The CDC says the warning now includes whole heads and hearts of romaine lettuce, in addition to chopped romaine and salads and salad mixes containing romaine. There is a new call to action tonight from students across the country walking out of school on the 19th anniversary of the Columbine Massacre, demanding that lawmakers do something to combat gun violence, the latest nationwide act by young people in the wake of Parkland. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez reports on a movement trying to keep up its momentum.
Stop gun violence!
From Atlanta,
this is what democracy looks like,
to Philadelphia, to Chicago. Today, another wave of powerful protests. In Phoenix, a sign of resistance. In Albany, New York, students in silence.
Rachel Scott.
As the names of Columbine victims were read. That massacre 19 years ago today.
We've really grown up in the generation that getting in the corner and huddling in the dark is really second nature to all of us.
The students from more than 2,700 schools demanding stricter gun laws.
Enough is enough!
Sophomore Lane Murdoch in Connecticut came up with the idea hours after February's shooting in Parkland, Florida.
There's many gun violence cases that don't make the news and don't make the headlines, and they deserve to have a voice.
Just today, in an Ocala, Florida high school, one student was shot in the ankle.
Just keep your hands up.
A SWAT team burst into a classroom. Terrified children used desks to barricade their door. Around the same time, less than 300 miles away, Parkland students walked out in protest.
Things haven't changed and things need to change.
But after Parkland, corporate America has made some changes. Walmart raised its age limit to buy guns and ammunition. Dick's Sporting Goods stopped selling assault-style rifles. Delta Airlines and Hertz no longer offer discounts to NRA members.
How tough is it to keep the momentum going?
It's tough because people disregard you.
Ann Phillips skipped class today to rally at the Georgia State Capitol.
You have to stand up. There's not time to ignore these things. This is a movement. Yeah. This is not a moment.
Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Atlanta.
New fallout of new questions this evening about President Trump's private conversations with James Comey before he fired Comey as FBI director. For the first time, we're getting a look at exactly what Comey wrote in his memos documenting those conversations, including several new revelations. We get details from our White House correspondent, Hallie Jackson.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
From the moment these memos' existence was revealed,
I created records after conversations.
High anticipation and high drama. The memos painting a picture of the focus on then National Security Advisor Mike Flynn in the early days of the administration as Flynn was under investigation by the FBI. At one point, James Comey says Donald Trump explained his serious reservations about Flynn's judgment, apparently furious over a phone call he wasn't told about quickly enough from Vladimir Putin, just weeks after the president was briefed on Russia's interference with the 2016 election. Comey says the president never brought up that interference. Comey also writes he was asked by then-Chief of Staff Reince Priebus whether the FBI was secretly surveilling Flynn. Quote, this illustrated the kind of question that had to be asked and answered through established channels.
So you're sort of teaching the White House Chief of Staff how these things are supposed to happen when they're handled, when the relationship between the Justice Department and the White House is properly handled.
Yeah, trying to.
Did he learn?
I don't know.
The president, feeling vindicated, tweeting today, James Comey memos just out and show clearly that there was no collusion and no obstruction. But that determination has yet to be made by the special counsel.
Claiming vindication from these memos is not a logical conclusion. Time will tell.
Hallie Jackson, NBC News, West Palm Beach, Florida.
Meantime, Democrats are taking their allegations of Trump campaign collusion with Russia to federal court. The Democratic National Committee has filed a lawsuit alleging a vast conspiracy to undermine the 2016 election. Among those named, the Russian government, the Trump campaign, Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, along with WikiLeaks and its founder Julian Assange, over those hacked DNC emails. The Trump campaign responded by calling the lawsuit frivolous. The nationwide manhunt for a fugitive grandmother wanted for the murders of her husband and a woman who looked just like her is finally over. After weeks on the run, she was finally captured at a restaurant in Texas. NBC's Kerry Sanders tells us about the tip that led police to her.
Tonight, the manhunt is over. 56-year-old Lois Reese, the so-called granny murderer, captured after authorities say she was spotted eating dinner with others, then casually drinking at a bar in South Texas.
She seemed to have let her guard down a little bit, which the officers were able to take advantage of that.
After someone recognized her from a television news report, they dialed 911. Police arrived and then arrested her.
So today's a huge win. She can't strike again. That was our main concern.
Her desperate run started in Minnesota on March 23rd, where investigators say Reese murdered her husband, then stole $11,000 from his bank account. She heads south in his car, stopping at this casino in Iowa before being spotted at a gas station.
If you want to start heading south, would you take 35 south?
From there, she turns up 1,500 miles away in southwest Florida, presumably befriending this woman, Pamela Hutchinson, who authorities say Reese targeted and then murdered because they looked alike. Now passing herself off as Hutchinson and stealing her car, Reese checks into a hotel 200 miles north before heading to Louisiana. And then her trail ends in South Texas, where last night she was finally captured.
You can run, but you can't hide. Not today. It's, you know,
there's cameras everywhere.
It's 2018. There's cameras everywhere.
Hutchinson's family tonight relieved.
Last night I was just in tears. Then to get woken up and hear this news, that was the answer to the prayer.
Tonight, Reese remains behind bars in a Texas jail. Detectives here in Florida say once extradited back to this state, if convicted, they'd like to see her face the maximum sentence, which in Florida could be the death penalty. Lester?
All right, Kerry Sanders, thanks. There is more to come tonight. High time celebrations across the country in honor of 420, the unofficial marijuana holiday, at a time when more states than ever have legalized recreational pot. Also, the school bus driver inspiring America by going the extra mile for one of her young students. We're back now with the growing business of weed on this 420. With more states now okaying recreational marijuana, enthusiasts are lighting up and more companies are rushing in to cash in, including here in California. We get details on all of it from NBC's Joe Fryer.
For the first time on 420, green is a go in the Golden State.
Thank you very much.
With recreational pot legalized this year in California, folks flock to dispensaries like LA's MedMen, buying buds with buddies, celebrating this unofficial marijuana holiday.
It's something natural, so just let people do what they want.
Today, recreational marijuana is legal in 9 states plus Washington, D.C. And a recent survey found 61% of Americans believe pot should be legalized. The sign public opinion is shifting.
That's how democracy works.
That includes Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, who tells Vice News he's now introducing a bill to decriminalize marijuana at the federal level.
Ultimately, it's the right thing to do. Freedom. If smoking marijuana doesn't hurt anybody else, why shouldn't we allow people to do it and not make it criminal?
Last week, President Trump told Colorado Senator Cory Gardner the federal government will leave state legalized programs alone.
The states will be able to determine what they want going forward on recreational medical marijuana.
On this April 20th, some companies are slyly targeting those with a case of the munchies, while police are warning about the dangers of impaired driving.
The numbers in the city of LA show that there's been a decrease in DUI alcohol arrests, but an increase in drug arrests.
A few departments took to social media with playful posts, like officers in Wyoming, Minnesota, who set incognito traps near a trail of snacks. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
At a Houston church today, an emotional tribute to former First Lady Barbara Bush. For the first time since her death this week, husband and former President George H.W. Bush appeared in public, greeting mourners as they lined up for hours to pay respects. A private funeral service will be held tomorrow. Four former presidents are expected to attend, along with First Lady Melania Trump. And join us for our special coverage of the service. It begins at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. When we come back, the special bond between a student and her school bus driver that's inspiring America. Finally tonight, let me share a story of a small act of kindness that cemented a bond between an 11-year-old girl who just needed a mother's touch and a school bus driver who was confronting her purpose in life. It turns out they needed each other much more than they realized, and their story is inspiring America.
That's my mom.
Isabella Pieri was 9 when her mother passed away.
When I was 3, she got sick. She was really kind. She loved other people.
She learned to do most things on her own. The hardest part is her hair. It got so bad once, Isabella's dad cut it off.
He gave me a crew cut.
She gets herself ready for school.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Isabella.
When the bus arrives at Greenwood Elementary, not everyone gets off.
You ready, Freddie?
The brushes come out, and the braiding begins. Isabella saw bus driver Tracy Dean fix another girl's hair, so she got up the courage to ask for help, too.
And I think to myself, what if it was my child, if I'm going to cry.
The mother of 4 was diagnosed with cancer 7 years ago and thought about what her own children would do without her.
Tracy is the best bus driver in the whole galaxy.
Noticing a newfound confidence in Isabella, teacher Ann Fries wrote a letter about Tracy.
Dear Transportation Department, I wanted to bring to your attention that you have a game changer.
Tracy loves driving the bus and knows she was meant to do this.
I didn't just survive for my husband or my children. I survived for these kids on the bus that need somebody to talk to or do their hair or whatever. I feel pretty blessed.
And a big thanks to our partners at KSL-TV in Salt Lake City for telling us about this story. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Friday night. I'm Lester Holt, and for all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.